This coming week, I'm going to be in Israel for just about a day and a half for Yom HaAtzmaut, for Israel Independence Day. Yes, I know. I plan to sleep on the plane, what can I tell you? And I will be back in time next week, to God willing, to report on the trip. And also then, of course, the week following, I hope that many of you will be joining me and the cantor at the APAC conference in Washington, where we've just received confirmation that Shimon Peres will be there and also will be addressed via video by the Prime Minister. And there will be many other dignitaries, including American politicians and office holders, to address not only us as a Sinai delegation, but also the conference. And we've just come off Pesach, all of which is a way of telling you that I don't exactly have a sermon for this morning. But I have a theory, and I want to not test the theory out on you, but at least suggest it to you. And the theory does actually have something to do with this morning's parasha being Tazria, because Tazria Metzora is about physical conditions. And doesn't matter the particulars of it, what the conditions are and what the cures are supposed to be. What matters is the question of the relationship between the spirit and the body. And that's what I actually want to say something about this morning. In the Jewish tradition, they're considered in some way a unity. There isn't quite that much of a split as there are in other traditions, for example, the Greek tradition, between the body, which is considered bad, and the spirit, which is considered good. Judaism doesn't have that split. But it still is true, and the more we know about bodies, the more we realize it's true, that the condition of your body affects the condition of your spirit. And by this, I mean that if, for example, right now, I opened up your head and fiddled with your brain, you'd come out different. Now, if you're fundamentally a soul, how can it be that messing with your synapses would make you different? We understand this if you're just a body. But if you're fundamentally a soul, then how is it that when someone has some sort of injury to their brain, or even sometimes an injury to one of their limbs or their body, they change so much that at times it hardly seems the same person? Now, we have a fundamental belief in the Jewish tradition that you're not only your body, that you are a soul, and that, in fact, you can transcend your physicality, but everyone knows how powerful physicality your body is. And for that, for a moment, let me just conduct with you a little experiment. Don't touch the person next to you, okay? If you are touching them, stop for just a second. Now, think about touching their hand. Don't do it, just think about it and what it would feel like, okay? Now, touch their hand. Do you feel how much more powerful the physical experience is than the imagination of the physical experience? Touching someone is infinitely more powerful than imagining touching someone in a certain way. So this makes us wonder, if, in fact, souls are resident inside of us, how is it that changing our bodies changes our souls so much? So here is, I don't want to say that this is an answer, but here is a theory that I have sort of played around with lately that seems to me at least interesting, an interesting way of conceiving of one's soul. Given that I hope you believe that human beings are more than bodies, then what are we? The way that I was always taught to think about it was, you're born, you get a soul, it's inside you, it goes through all sorts of growth in the course of your life, and then when you die, it returns to God. But as I get older, I think that way less. And I think instead that a soul is not only something we have, but something we all share. That a soul is something that moves through the universe, and that your body is in some way the receptor for this universal soul that moves through the universe. That is, we all share pieces of this great soul that God spreads through the world, and all of us, because our bodies and also our receptors, our spiritual receptors are unique, we all have different souls, but we also, to some extent, all share the same soul. That's why, not only because we share physical characteristics, but because we're all spiritually kin, that's why we can understand each other on such a deep level. And what happens is, because your body is a receptor, almost like the hardware for this software, when your hardware changes, so does your soul. It, in fact, does change. It's not that you have one continuous, unchanging soul stuck inside of you and your body changes. But rather that since, almost like radio waves that move through different kinds of radios and sound different with different speakers and are received differently by different radio sets, that there is a spirit that moves through the world and all of us receive it differently. And as we change, we receive it in a manner that's not consistent with the way it was before. That means sometimes, if our body is in shape to do it and our receptors are conditioned, we receive it better. There are more soulful moments in our life, more moments where you feel deeper soul, greater soul, where you realize your potential to receive as much soul as your particular receptors are capable of receiving. And then there are times when you're not. Sometimes through physical injury, sometimes through depression, sometimes through indifference, sometimes through callousness, all sorts of distraction, all the things that plague us when we try to connect to others and to something greater than ourselves. This, to me, at least, is one way of conceiving, of thinking about the way in which, when we change, our souls change with us. So that not only are we separate, isolated, so not only, I shouldn't say not only, but that we are not separate, isolated souls, but that we are part of the sort of ocean wave of souls that move through the world. And different boats ride the waves differently, but we are all, in some sense, part of the same wave. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that this is the way to think about souls. But it does help me understand how it could be that physicality is both so powerful and so determinative in the way that we live our lives, and why it is that when your body changes, it feels like your spirit sometimes changes with it, and also why sometimes your spirit can triumph over your body, because what moves through you sometimes can be stronger than the physical body that is given you. I don't know if this is, in fact, the way spirit works in the world, but I'm not sure that we are ever capable of understanding the way spirit works. And maybe the best we can do is find different metaphors, different ideas, different images to try to conceive of the inexplicable, unfathomable, and quite miraculous way in which God has fashioned each of us and allowed us not only to experience each other's bodies, but also each other's souls. And with that, let's turn now in our Siddurim.